Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coombs. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your praise, O God. Fill us with your power, Lord God, and your love. Father, let us walk beyond reproach, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you, Father, to have your way this very night, Almighty God, in this service, Lord. Father, as we surrender to you tonight, Lord God, and we remove ourselves, Lord God, out of your way this very night, Lord, and say, have your way. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. You love him tonight?
Hallelujah.
We're serving an awesome God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't be seated. Hallelujah. I thank God I come to church tonight. I thank God I come to church with an expectation of him. Hallelujah. You know, I thank God for theologians. I thank God for men of God. I thank God for Bible colleges and places that men could go to apply themselves to learn God's word. But I thank God most of all, over all those things, I thank God for a God of wisdom and understanding, a God of knowledge, a God of power, a God of praise, a God that's arm isn't short, a God that is here, and when we need him, he's ever present. I thank God that my God is a God that's alive and well, and he's on the throne, amen, and that he's dwelling in me, and I'm within him, amen, hallelujah. I thank God that he's not some distant hope or a future promise, amen. I thank God that he's alive and well, amen, and I thank God he's here, and he's now, and he's the I am, hallelujah. I think I can get excited about Jesus, amen, really. It wouldn't be too hard to get excited about my God, my Savior, amen. You know, if we was here talking about Abraham Lincoln, or if we was here talking about George Washington, or if we was here talking about some of those things, you know, it's wonderful to have history of people and men and great things, but I thank God that my God isn't a historical God of some future or past tense God of some great things that he did or this and that. I thank God that he's living with me, walking with me, fellowshipping with me, talking to me, encouraging me, edifying me, exhorting me, reproving me, rebuking me, amen, because he's my God, my Father, and he is real and he's alive, amen. Isn't that exciting? I hope I'm not the only one excited about this great God. Amen. I hope that you guys just think, well, this guy's been drinking something before he come to church, because I tell you, he's all exuberant, happy, and joyful. My God gives me a reason to have joy. My God gives me reason to be happy. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Jonathan back here, you know, he could be saying yay and amen. He got him a new baby and everything. And you know, that's exciting. Amen. But you know what's exciting is having the Christ child dwelling in you. Hallelujah. The power of salvation, the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll never, that little child, if the Lord tarries, could grow up and get ornery and get mean, and he could go off in rebellion against God. You know, we pray and hope nothing like that, but it happens. Little children grow up and they get in the love with the world and they go after the frolics of the world. They break mom and dad's heart, but Jesus will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never give you a reason for what he has done for you to sorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. When you find yourself sorrowing, and it's usually because you've let fleshly exuberances and human reasoning get in the way between you and your God. Amen. But I want to live in that place with him. Hallelujah. That we could walk beyond reproach. Amen. And that we could stay in the joy of the Lord. Amen. And he continually walking with us. You love him tonight? And maybe we can get in a word here a little bit. I might just get excited and pray. I ministered in a church not too long ago down in Fayetteville. And man, I went in there and the Spirit of the Lord moved. And I just started ministering and preaching and things like that. And I preached for a while, not too long. I don't know, an hour maybe. And I realized that I never read no scripture. I say, well, you know, we've had the word. I've heard nothing but the word going forth. Amen. But I like to read the word and I like to keep a foundation in the word. If I depart from this word, then you need to depart from me. Amen. And I say, follow me as I follow Christ, and if I depart from following Christ, then you need to depart from me. And if you see me veering off of my course, or seems like my way is getting a little hazy and it looks like things are going, pray for me and come to me with the love of God and say, Brother Rob, and pray with me and encourage me. Amen. Because I do that with you. I love you and pray for you, and I try to exhort you in the love of God and to keep your way straight and the path clear, and that we could go on and do something for the Lord. Amen. And you ought to have enough love for me as a pastor. If you see or think think that possibly got people that go around behind and sowing discord, smiting the shepherd. You know, it's going to happen. It don't matter how much God I've got, how much Holy Ghost I got. It don't matter if I levitate, if I float. It doesn't matter if I can fly above the heavens. They're going to come against me and they're going to lie against the truth and they're going to speak all matter of evil. And you know what? That's part of being a Christian. It's part of being a minister. I have no problem with that. Amen. But you know, brothers and sisters, I'm concerned for their soul as they continually smite the pastor, smite the shepherd. And they go on and you look in their life and you see nothing but wickedness and evil and jealousy and animosity and hatred and strife. And all I see is the fruit of the flesh. I don't see the fruit of the spirit. You know, when I see the fruit of the spirit in a man and they're finding fault with you, you drop on your knees and say, oh God, help me, Jesus. Lord, direct me, lead me, guide me. Get these things that are unpleasing, Lord God, out of my walk and out of my way. Amen. Pray, brothers and sisters. There's people that are getting ready to be cut off just like that. We're in a day and hour. There's people that are going to be cut off. You're going to be looking people in the eyes that have been cut off. They won't find forgiveness in this world nor in the world to come. I'm heavy in my spirit. I had a man that was married in this church, and he was in this church, and his wife was in this church, and God was getting ready to cut his wife off. And I knew that the Lord was getting ready to cut this woman off, and I was pleading, I was praying. The man was out on a golf course, and I rebuked him harshly. I said, I don't understand why you would even have time or to think you could be on a golf course out frolicking in the world, and this thing is so devastating in your life. I rebuked him harshly and strong, and he was on the golf course the next day. Again, after a rebuke, and I thought, oh my God. And then I found this thing coming and I was pleading and pouring my heart out because I felt like I was going to have the sister's blood on my own hands. And I pleaded from the sacred desk and I poured out my heart. And people come to church, oh praise God, it's Wednesday night. Oh hallelujah, you know, this, that, just lighthearted. And I'm burdened for a soul in my heart thinking, oh God, please. And the Lord gave me a peace and he said, the blood's not on your hands. You've done everything you know to do. But still there was a burden in my heart, very burdened and broken in my spirit in my heart, because I knew that God wasn't going to hold me accountable, brothers and sisters, for the blood of this woman. He wasn't going to hold me accountable because he said, you delivered the message. You've delivered everything. You've said everything I've asked you to say. You've counseled. You've prayed. You've got them behind the scenes, so to speak, and you've directed and spoke and did this and that. But still, it doesn't make it easy. You know, I'm thinking, Lord, I want to be a soul winner. Lord God, I want to be one that brings the word of life to people. I want one to bring exhortations and edifications to people that they could hear from the Spirit of God. And brothers and sisters, and sometimes we could hear from the Lord and have the things that we need to say and that we need to speak, but then yet because of the lasciviousness and the lightheartedness and because of the lack of virtue and righteousness in our life, then when we come with the word, they can't receive from us. That's a sad place to be. Are you living a life of Christ? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Are you walking beyond the pools of flesh and the world? When your family needs a Savior, are you there for them? When your family needs a spokesperson from God, are you there for them that you could speak God's word? Mamas, fathers, can you speak the word of God to your children and they can receive from you because of the virtue and the righteousness in your life? I know a man that has problem fellowship in the brotherhood because he wants the brotherhood to esteem him as a great man of God with great understanding of a great person, but he has no virtue in his life. There's no power of salvation. There's no virtue in his life. There's no power of the Spirit of God in his life. There's no prayer in his life. He doesn't share with the work of God. He doesn't share finances, and he has no strength. He doesn't labor or work with the brethren and do things like that, so he doesn't have no say-so within the brotherhood. And then he wants to find fault with the brethren to make the brethren no good, but the problem is only laying within the members of his own flesh. It's because he doesn't have the Holy Ghost, because he's not full of the Spirit. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you have love and joy and peace, and you have love one for another. The Bible says that you know you've passed from death unto life. You know, I love the brethren here. I look to fellowship the brethren. I love them because I passed from death on life. And I say, I want to see the brethren, fellowship the brethren. And we get together and we labor and do exploits and do things and encourage one another in the gospel. But when you see one that's always smiting and making himself and finding fault. And then the Bible said, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Who's utilizing your vocal cords? Who's utilizing your mouth? Are you continually finding and striving against the brothers and the sisters of church? And if you are, then it's Satan that is using your life. Little children, pray for mamas. little children pray for fathers, that they could be full of the Holy Ghost and walk in peace and the counsel of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I will say this before I read the scriptures here. When a man comes to the place that he needs to be, and he sees that his children are just like him, you know what it does? It vexes him. Now, let me tell you about a human, fleshly, carnal mind. They see their children raising up. They say, man, there's a chip off the old block. He's just like his dad. When I see my son's just like his dad, it grieves my spirit, because Rob Coons has been the enemy of God, needing to get delivered from that fleshly mind and the fleshly strength and the pride and the human reasoning and thinking highly of himself. And then I see that in my son. I say, he's got to conquer that same spirit of flesh that I had to conquer and have to keep and put under my feet on a daily basis. But when you see a father that's encouraging his son to be like him and wants his son to be like him, get away from that father. That father have no sense. A father don't need to raise his kids up to be like him. He needs to raise his kids up to be like Christ. Amen. I remember Brother Pike speaking in a message one time, and he said, if you bring your wives to this church to come in George Pike's mind, he said, you must be some kind of a fool. He said, you're not here to come into the mind of George Pike. He said, I'm teaching the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's still people trying to walk in the mind of a man, and we need to walk in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A religious mind of man is enmity with God. It is something that brings death, only death. But what we do is we try to make our mind religious, and that's lesser light. But the light of Christ and the mind of Christ, brothers and sisters, is a brightness that eradicates the darkness of fleshly human reasoning and the human mind. Amen. So when we see things and we start looking at things by carnal human reasoning and by the carnal mind, get away from that. It's enmity with God. It's the enemy of God. We need to come into the mind of Christ and let everything esteem Christ, His word, His kingdom, His way. Amen. There are things that we could say in a life and we could see, well, I want to be like my father, you might say. Well, that's if your father's died and is like Christ, and your father's no longer walking in fleshly ambitions, but walking in revelational truths. Amen. And if you could see Christ in your father, if you could see Christ in his life, if you could see Christ in his actions, and you could see the love of God emanating from him, then you could say, I'm going to be like my father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. It's a heavenly father. Amen. Hallelujah. So the thing is hopefully you could see your father living like Jesus, walking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, and acting like Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I found out that I am the first and utmost number one enemy of God. And you know what? I could do something with that man named I could conquer him. A Bible says that a man that can control his own spirit is like, again, a city with a broken down wall. Amen. So the thing is I found out that I have all authority over I. Amen. I could make I shut up. I could make I not eat. I could make I go where God wants him to go. Amen. And we have to get authority over him. Amen. You know, sometimes we want to show authority and put authority over this and put authority over that. But first and utmost, we better get this man under subjection. Amen. To the word and the will and the ways of God. Amen. That's what's important in our lives. I want to serve God. I want to please God. I'm not here to please man. I'm not here for everybody to like me. A lot of people don't like me. You know what? It's okay, because they said they didn't like him either. And they said they had no reason to dislike him, but they said that they hated him first, and they hated him first, they'll hate you also. Amen. So I could live with that. Hallelujah. When they persecute you, I'm commanded in his word to rejoice. Amen. So I'm not trying to please people. I want to please God. Amen. I'm not trying to be popular with people, and I'm not looking for popularity, but I'm looking to please a heavenly father. Amen. And the ways of God are never man's ways, and I want to stay continually. Turn with me over to Proverbs, please. I'm encouraged in my heart. I want to encourage others. I want to see people full of the Holy Ghost and love of God. I want to see people exuberant about the joy of the Lord. Amen. And the opportunities we have. You know, brothers and sisters, we're all missionaries. We're all on a mission field. Amen. You know, when you go back up the hospital and there's a mission field there. When you got on your workplaces tomorrow, there's a mission field there. You know, we're praying for the missionary in Africa. We're praying for the missionary in Mexico. We're praying for the missionary in Philippines. But man, let's pray that we could be missionaries for God. America needs missionaries, brothers and sisters. America is dried up. America's dead, dying on the vine. Amen. America needs ministers of God. It needs true, devout Christians that love the Lord. It needs ones that'll go in their workplaces and on the job sites and the job places and commanding decency and respect and order and love in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, everything is departed, America. Everything decent, everything virtuous, everything righteous, everything godly is departed. The religious order of America has turned to vomit, has turned into vomit on the tables of God. Satan is already, you know, we talk like it's a futuristic thing, like Satan climbing up into the upper lintels. He's done arrived. He's already climbed up. He's already there. He's taken over the churches of America. It's been Ichabod put over the door of the church because the Spirit of God has departed from the church. Churches of America. I know that sounds terrible. And you think, oh, it couldn't be that bad. Oh, yes, it's that bad. It's just a small flock and few be there that find it. And even the ones that are supposed to be walking in the election and the ones walking in purity and the ones walking in holiness have departed. We see even the small flock of people that come up under Brother Pike and raised up there and heard the mind of God. We've seen a mass departure even of that. And the ones that were raised up, we could say, in a message of the hour, amen. And we see a mass departing and going away from that. And you say, are you speaking against the brotherhood? No, I'm not speaking. I'm one of them. I'm speaking the truth. There are people that are departing from the faith and departing from the truth. Amen. I'm not finding fault with nobody. I'm just speaking factually. I can start naming names. They've departed sound doctrine and went back into things of old time and things that they should be going on in greater things. Amen. But pray for them, brothers and sisters. God loves them. As well as he loves you. Let's don't miss the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited about being a Christian. Amen. I thank God for Brother George Pike. Amen. But you know what? I thank God that he taught me about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. I was talking about a group of people here not long back, and I was saying how there's such a thrust in them to introduce you to their leader. And their leader's passed on. And I'm thinking like, we could talk about great men of God as you hear me speak about Brother Pike so often. Or we might even speak about the great man of God, Brother Branham. But you know what, brothers and sisters, if I never mentioned Brother George Pike or Brother William Branham ever, but taught the same thing that they taught in the same word and told people about the wonderful Jesus Christ, amen. That's what we need. We need Jesus, amen. There's no other name given among men. It's only Jesus, amen. It doesn't matter. Brother Pike made Brother Rob more accountable because he brought me greater understanding, greater revelation. He made me more accountable to God. And I thank God for that because I want to grow. I want to grow up. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. I'm not content with the doctrines of repentance. I'm not content with just knowing about Jesus as my Savior. I mean, don't misunderstand me. I thank God for him being my Savior and his blood that was shed. But I'm not content just to dabble around in those things. I want to press in and go into more and more and more of an understanding in Christ. Let's read a little bit here in Proverbs 11. It says, a false balance is an abomination in the Lord, but a just weight is a delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perseverance of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteous of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of the unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessings of the upright, the city is exalted, but is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retaineth riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. If I was going to expound on every proverb that we read right there in 11, I couldn't take enough time through this week to truly expound and do any kind of good to the scriptures. Amen. It's so full and so rich. God's word is real. It's rich. It's full of life and understanding. Brothers and sisters, what we need to learn to do, and this is a problem I find, I guess I could say humanity for a lack of expression, is that we could take and read Proverbs such as we read tonight and we could apply them. You know, we could say, well, you know, that applies to brother such and such. That applies to sister such and such. This applies to this one, and this one's weak in this area, and this one's over here in that area. It's the Word of God, and we read these things in a perspective of examination of our own selves, that we could look in the mirror and not be considered like the Bible says, that we walk away forgetting what manner of man we truly are. And brothers and sisters, there's things in here from verse 1 all the way over to the last verse there that are showing how to mirror and look at the difference between a fleshly mind and a godly mind. You see, a fleshly mind, a human mind, a carnal mind, the mind of man, the mind of ideology, the mind of human reasoning, the mind that's puffed up, the mind that thinks too highly of itself, this mind is going to be contrary to everything that's virtuous, righteous, and holy and good. And the natural mind of man is the enemy of God. And these are ways that we could read here and see the way that we think. Now, I say this so oftentimes that man's ways are not God's ways and God's ways are not man's ways. This is what our Bible teaches us. Amen. And the thing is man spends so much time indoctrination, so much time of indoctrinating themselves in their ideas. Amen. And I shared with you not long back, I was talking with Brother Chuck Kistler, and we talk about the Word and talk about things occasionally and about the Word, and he exhorts me a little, I exhort him a little, he pokes me a little, and I poke him back a little. Amen. But I asked him a question. I said, you know, when we think of, you know, ology or the study of, I said, what do you think is more studied of in our world in understanding? And, you know, and I let him think on it for a while. I just went, and I know that you've heard me say this, so most of you know the answer. But the thing is that we could say, well, Scientology, you know, the study of science, and there's so many people given to that. Or we could say, you know, there's so many things that people give their life to. And some would say, well, I would like to think that it was theology, the study of God. You know, Theo, this great God. I wish it was theology that there was. Well, there's a lot of study in theology, but it's perverted study. You know, it's sad to say that there's many theologians that have got so puffed up in their fleshly mind that they're rewriting this Bible. And they're coming up with new versions and new translations and new things, and they're rewriting the Word of God. So is that what we need, is more theologians? Is that truly what we need? You know what's sad is my father was sharing this with me, that he was trying to share some revelational truths from the gospel straight out of the King James Version with an individual. And this individual says, well, let me get my Bible out. You know, praise God, I've got a King James Bible. You know, and then they get their King James Bible out and they read the scripture, and then they go down here in the footnotes and says, okay, let's see here, verse 11 and verse 25. And we go down the footnote, and this theologian, this doctor of divinity, is going to tell you what the Word of God said. And kind of makes me think of the Democrat and Republican Party. A Democratic president will speak for 15 minutes and some Republican guy will get on there and tell you what he said for 45 minutes. Or vice versa, they do it. If the Republican president preaches, then we're going to get some Democrat on there to tell us what he really said. And take three times as long to explain it to you. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We need ministers and we need men of God and we need people to study, to show themselves approved, who need not be ashamed according to the scriptures and the Word. But brothers and sisters, when people are taking and watering down this Word, when we have to take things that are offensive, I think the Spirit of God knew when this was inspired and God breathed that He knew what the people needed. He knows, and if it's offensive, it needs to be offensive. If it cuts a little bit, it needs to cut a little bit. You understand that? And what happens is they start changing it and start watering it down. So I said, what is it? Which one is the one that this studied the most, more than any others? I've ministered numerous messages. I've been in the foreign field, ministered numerous times on ideology. And it is the most studied thing in America and throughout this whole world. And you're guilty. You say, who are you talking to? I can start with Andy. I can go to Stephanie. I can go to my wife, Irene. Go to my granddaughter. And go right back to Brother Randy. And I could take time to name every single one of you in this church. You're guilty. You hear the preacher say something and you have an idea what he really said. You have an idea what you think he meant. You read the Word of God and you say, well, I think I have an idea what that means. And then instead of meditating and praying and studying and praying in the Holy Ghost, and instead of seeking and praying in the Spirit, you are going to meditate on your ideas. Ideology. Your idea. The study of your idea. You see, the perverts have a study of their own idea. God is love. See, they have a study of their own idea, and their own idea is the truth. But they take a truth and they pervert a truth. Oh, God is love. He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in Him shall not perish. I'm going to stay on the Word. I believe the Word. And it's a man saying, give me my boyfriend back. And it's a woman saying, give me my girlfriend back. It's a woman is saying, God loves me so much, He wouldn't put me in hell, eternal damnation. He wouldn't cast me into the lake of fire. He loves me so much. You see, she's got a truth, but she studied on her own idea. She's got an idea that God is love. But He said He's also angry with the wicked and pursues them off the face of the earth. Yes, He is love. Amen. But He loves us so much that He gave us the power of His Spirit, that He cleansed us and washed us and made us, that we could be filled with His Spirit, that we could overcome all things of this world, and we could put them all under our feet. That's the love of God. That's the power of God. Amen. We're not weak, brothers and sisters. If you're weak, speak that you are strong in Him. If you think it's impossible, then speak by the one that makes all the impossible things possible. If you think that it can't be done, then you call on the God that makes the impossible possible. You understand what I'm saying? So where is His hand short? Where are we weak? Who has bewitched us? We haven't been, brothers and sisters. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you're walking below your means, if you're walking below the expectations of the Word, and you think that there's been more put on you than what you could bear, then you need to drop to your knees and you need to say, God, fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your power, Lord God, that I could overcome these perplexities of this life. That I could put these things under my feet. There is nothing that could be laid to the charge of God's elect. That means that you put drunkenness under your feet. You put idolatry, fornication, adultery. You put all those things under your feet. Brothers and sisters, we have received the power of God. If you haven't received the power and you're not walking beyond the tugs and the pulls of this world, then you need to ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost and get out of your religious mindset. If you keep thinking, well, I know I'm saved. I know that I'm born again. I know that I asked Jesus in my heart, but you keep falling, you keep stumbling, you keep staggering around, and you keep going into the worldly lust and pleasures and in your human pride of life, then you just simply need to come to one thing and say, God, you know what? I've been walking in deception. I've been lying to myself. God, I need a Savior. I need You to cleanse me. I need You to wash me. I need You to fill me with Your power. Lord, I want to be an example. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want to be a light under this path of darkness. I want to lead people into the kingdom of God. But when you're walking in fleshly reasoning and human lust and all the pride of this life and the proudness of who you are, you'll never lead a soul to the kingdom of God. You'll never do it. Get in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Him. Desire Him. Want more of Him. Talk to Him. Pray to Him. Walk with Him. Fellowship with Him. Put your hand in that nail-scarred hand and walk with Him. Amen. We need a Savior this day. We need power of the Holy Ghost this day. We need to quit playing games with God, and we need to get Him and make Him the preeminent one of our life. He is the preeminent one. There shouldn't be anything that would take preeminence over Him. If your wife is more preeminent than God is, then you need to get born again. If your children are more preeminent to you than what God is, you need to get born again. Amen. But let me tell you something. You think, well, man, I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren so much. I just can't think about God as much. No, you get in love with Jesus and He'll make you a better grandma. He'll make you a better grandfather. He'll make you a better daddy. He'll make you a better mama. He'll make you a better brother. He'll make you a better sister. If we could just fall in love with Jesus, He'll make us better at everything. Amen. I'll tell you, there isn't nothing, brothers and sisters, that He can't make better and straighter and more powerful. Amen. If you're in financial devastation and financial problems, fall in love with Jesus and start seeking Him first and adding an increase to His kingdom, and He'll open up the floodgates of heaven to you. He'll open up the things and He'll pour out the blessings more than you can even contain. It's in His Word and it's true. I've tried it. And you say, well, I've tried it. No, if you're not blessed and you're not successful, I could say you have not truly tried it, because I tell you, His Word is true. Amen. and let every man be a liar. You've failed him. You've robbed him. You've done something, amen, or you've got hidden sin in your life, because I'm telling you, you will prosper when you seek after God's kingdom first. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I love his word. Amen. Are you glad you come to church tonight? Amen. I'm glad I came to church. Amen. Y'all standing before some crazy guy up here that's madly in love with Jesus. Amen. And he's my everything. Amen. It doesn't matter about anything. The only thing that matters is him. Amen. And if I could please him, I know I could please you. If I could please him, amen, I know that everything will work out and it'll all be all right. And if you don't like me, it's okay. It's still in his plan too. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm crazy enough to believe this Bible. You know that? I am. I mean, I believe every bit of it. I don't try to reason out and say, well, this is, you know, for the people back there 2,000 years ago and today it's a little bit different. I don't believe that. Amen. Let's get on fire for God. Let's get lined up with this word. Let's walk in this word. Amen. Now, if we go back and look at what we read, brothers and sisters, these things are put here for we could take and look into our own lives. Again, I could look at your life and say, yeah, you could apply this one. And you might look at my life and say, yeah, you could apply this one. But brothers and sisters, let's examine ourselves. Let's see if we be in the faith. And the thing is as I said before the service tonight, I got up here and I said, look, we're all walking far below the potentials of Christ in our life. Now, if you think that you're doing everything that is within the potentiality of a Holy Ghost-filled man or woman, I want you to stand to your feet right now, for I can cast the devil out of you. I'm telling you, I don't mean it wrong, but I'm going to take and lay hands on you. Amen. What I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, when I think the things that talks about the life of Jesus, and it said that the books could not contain the things in which he done, and we're talking about 3 years of ministry. Could it be said of you? Could it be said of me? No. Brothers and sisters, I'm coming here tonight and I could testify of the great things and the exploits that you've done. I could testify how you've surrendered and yielded your life to Christ. I could testify of the sacrifices that you've made. And I could rejoice in the Lord. But brothers and sisters, let's be real. You've heard me say this in times past. I could remember being in Pentecostal move and Pentecostal church. I've been involved in the Pentecostal circles for, I guess it's getting probably around 20 years or better. And the thing is that, you know, I could remember sitting in these churches, and this will sound possibly, I wouldn't mock God. God's not mocked. But you know, well, I thank God, Brother Rob, for the Holy Ghost. I got filled in 1917 with the evidence speaking in tongues. I'm mocking a little bit, yes. You heard that testimony too, didn't you, Brother Jerry? See, he heard it. I got a witness. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and then you come back to church next week. I thank God in 1993, I got filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence. You know what? Who cares? What have you done since 1993? Man, you old dried up tongue talker, man. I tell you what, I mean, you know, tongue talking's a wonderful thing. Speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And the Bible said from the innermost parts, you know, and praying without understanding to this, it's a wonderful thing. And it cleanses and refreshes. It rejuvenates. And you know, you could have a prayer closet language and you can just pray and worship and praise Him. It's a wonderful thing. But the Bible said it ain't going to help nobody else. Isn't that what it says? I'm not here for myself. I'm here for others. I came to give my life. Amen. I came to be a servant to the others. So, you know, this tongue thing must decrease somewhere, and it must be something that shouldn't be as desired as much. The Bible speaks about prophecy being a greater gift than tongues. Doesn't it say that in the Bible? So the thing is I'm not mocking tongue talkers or those things. But, you know, I've heard those testimonies. You know, I've heard them testify about that. Well, it's great. If you've never spoken tongues or found that prayer language life, I encourage you. Go find a closet. Go find a place and just start praying and saying, God, you know, if this is something that's lacking in my walk or in my life, fill me, Lord. Give me this spirit. Give me this language and let this heavenly language flow through me, because there's times we must pray in the Spirit. There's times when people come into the altars and they say, Brother Robin, sometimes I don't want to hear what they want to say because what they're saying isn't straight. It's not truthful. They're walking in deception. They're not seeing the real problem. You know, a woman might come up, oh, my husband's no good. Pray for my husband. He's wretched. You know, the husband doesn't need prayer. She needs the devil cast out of her, for she could line up and live right and walk right. That's the way I want to pray. I want to pray in the Spirit. And so many times we've got to listen by the Spirit. We got to pray in the Spirit. Sometimes as the minister, you might lay hands on praying the Holy Ghost for a minute, for you could get the understanding of God in the situation. And then a word of knowledge may come to you and say, no, this is the way to pray. You see, this is how we pray. Brothers and sisters, The thing is tongue is for the unbeliever in the perspective. And when we go over and read in the gifts, and there is a time for it, and there's nothing wrong with it. Amen. But you know, I would rather speak five intangible words, or some words that could be understood, of prophecy than 5,000 words in tongues. That's what the Bible teaches us. In speaking about this book that we just read here, this chapter tonight, you know, there's many things that we could look at ourselves, and we could examine ourselves and see what's happening within our life. And we could start tightening in, pressing in more and more. But we could look at these things and find out the hindrances in our own lives. Brothers and sisters, these fleshly attributes in our lives, these fleshly spirits of inheritance that we have been passed down from generation to generation. You know, sons, when you act like dad, and daughters, when you're acting like mama sometimes, these things aren't always good. These are things that you need to say, now, wait a minute. Now, when mama's virtuous and mama's righteous and mama's holy, or daddy the same way, it's a different story. But I'm talking about fleshly exuberances, fleshly animosities, fleshly pride, fleshly anger, fleshly jealousies, fleshly envy. When you see people that are continually envying what somebody else has and envying others for what they have, and jealousy, where they're always speaking against people that have this and have that, when it's stimulated from jealousies. You know, when Jesus was walking among men and they took this oil and anointed him and they poured it on his feet, there was one there that said, why can't we sell this and give it to the poor? And the individual that spoke that, we know who he was and what he's done. And this thing was done as a testimony to anoint the Lord, because they knew of this death that was coming, and it was done by the will of God. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that sometimes people speak against people that possibly would have, and they speak against them that they're out of the will of God. And usually when you find them doing that, look and examine their lives for just a moment and see what they're doing and what they're giving and what they've shared in the Lord. When you share in God's kingdom and you share in God's house and you add and put and sow and sacrifice and give, there's got to be an increase added back to you. The word of God is a lie. Amen. When the Lord spoke to me, and I've said this, to build that house, well, that was one of the hardest things he ever asked me to do. He's asked me to go help other ministers build homes. And I've done it with a pleasure and a joy. But when he told me to do one over here, it was the toughest thing for me to do. I didn't find joy in it. I didn't want to do it. I fought against the Lord in it, and he pressed me. And you know, I understand why. Because if it didn't take place and happen the way it happened, God's word would be a lie. Amen. When you've given up houses and you've given up homes and you've given up businesses and you've built other homes and businesses and things for others and you've given with no expectation in return, there's got to be something. Even though we're looking for treasures on the other side and we're storing things away on the other side, we really don't care about what's on this side. Amen. Because our thoughts and our mind are in heavenly places. But God's still got to keep his word in order, that his word would be true and his word would be alive and his word would be vindicated, brothers and sisters. So that's what we want to do. We want to walk in the word. Amen. And we want to not seeking after. The difference is some men seek after worldly fame, worldly prosperity, worldly treasures, worldly homes, worldly business. They seek after that. But brothers and sisters, seek after the kingdom of God. Seek after doing something for the kingdom of God. Make natural sacrifices. Sacrifice your own things and your own time and your own businesses and make sacrifice in them. Then you got God's attention, and then his attention is on yours and your attention is on his. Amen. When you're seeking after him, he'll start adding unto you. You seek after your own and seeking after your own gains and your own pleasures and your own fame and your own fortunes, then God's not in the midst with it. And what is added to you because of your intellectual abilities and mind and skills and talents will be the things that testify against you on the day of judgment. That's what the Bible says. You see, one man could have a house and another man could have a house. This man's house glorifies the kingdom of God. This other man's house testifies against him on the day of judgment. But you know, a carnal-minded person goes by, he couldn't tell the difference. And he wouldn't know the difference and would not be able to see the difference. I never understand the difference. But brothers and sisters, this is why we must pray that God would grant unto us the mind of Christ, that we could see and understand and comprehend. We need to fall in love with him. And when you get in love with Jesus, then you're going to be seeking after him. And you're not going to be seeking after your own ways and your own ideas and your own things. Brothers and sisters, let's get more of him. I'm telling you, we need more of him. We need more of him. You say, well, Brother Rob, I'm in a 30-fold measure now. Praise God. You know, let's go for a 60. You say, Brother Rob, I'm in a 60. Let's not go for a 100. You say, Brother Rob, I'm in a 100. I guess they'd get up here if I can cast that devil out of you. But I know in Christ, He has perfected us once and for all by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. He's given us everything that pertains unto life. We've been sealed in, hid away in Christ. There ain't no devil of hell could touch us. Nothing could be laid to our charge. And He has perfected us. And I could live on that street and walk and talk about it. But I'm talking about the ministry sent, the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. And this is what I'm speaking about, is let's bring this work of Christ that He has done for us, the one that He's finished and the one that He's completed, and let's bring it into a manifestation, into a substance, something that is seen, by making faith, brothers and sisters, and bringing that invisible thing into a substance, into an evidence, something that's tangible, something that's seen. Bring the attributes of God alive. That's what we need to do. Amen. That's what I want to do. Pray for me, brothers and sisters. I want to be more like Jesus. Amen. Pray for me that I could get out of the way. Pray for me that I could be full of the Holy Ghost and stay full of the Holy Ghost and have more of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you think that I'm trying to project me as something or somebody, God have mercy on you. I'm asking you, stand before you as transparent as I know to be and say, pray for me, man. Help me. Pray that God helps me and feeds me and sets me apart. Amen. Are you in love with Jesus? I'm in love with the Lord. Amen. I like verse 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You understand that? Who's the tree of life? It's Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is that fruit, brothers and sisters, and we need to have that in our life. And ye that win souls is wise. So the thing is, brothers and sisters, let's get on fire for God. Start seeking after others' needs. I'm telling you, that's the secret. It is the secret. It's an unveiled secret. It's a revelational truth. It's a revelational secret. Amen. And I'm telling you, you start seeking after others' needs more than your own. Start seeking after others' prosperity more than your own. Start trying to make other more happy and trying to bring joy to others. And you'll walk in happiness. You'll walk in joy. You'll walk in prosperity. You'll walk in strength. You'll walk in health. You'll walk in all things as unto the Lord when you start seeking after those other things. And you know, when you're seeking after to win another soul and to lead somebody else into the kingdom of God, and you're seeking after to edify somebody else in the mind of God and the revelation of the Lord, and you're seeking after to do and to show and to love and to do those things, man, He's going to pour it out to you. You won't be praying for yourself. You won't be saying, pleading before the Lord, oh God, I need this. Oh God, I need that. If you're mentioning the need, you're mentioning the need of someone else. You're mentioning that somebody else has need, that somebody else is weak, and that somebody else is sick, and somebody else is troubled, somebody else is perplexed, somebody else is tormented, and you're praying and you're pleading, and guess what? You'll walk beyond perplexities and torment. You'll walk in prosperity and joy and peace and all those things because you're praying for others and showing them a way. And God will give it to you that you could lead them and show them the way. That's why the Bible said, ye that win souls are wise. You see, because when I'm winning souls, my soul's already won. When you're so perplexed and so pressing and so doing things for your own soul and seeking after your own salvation, oh, I want this, you'll never be a soul winner. You'll never win your own soul. Amen. Get on fire for Jesus and start winning others to the kingdom. And being a light. See, when you says you are wise, it's because you're walking in the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. That's the only wise there is, because you're not wise in your own mind, in your own deceits, in your own carnality. You're wise in the revelation in the mind of Christ. That's the only wisdom that there is. And the mind of Christ is what? It's doing good to others. It's seeking after others. Brothers and sisters, if we can truly let that become a revelation in our life. I made a statement not long back. I said, if you started a ministry of feeding other people, let me tell you something, you'd never be hungry. It's biblical, brothers and sisters. But I'm just telling you, God's ways, when you are in a ministry of doing and helping, it'll never lack. If you're giving as the Lord commands you to give, and you give, I'm not pleading for finances here tonight. I'm talking about God's principles. I haven't even passed the buckets yet. No. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about God's principles. I'm not talking about finances. Finances is such a small part of what I'm saying. And finances, it does apply. If you're giving finances to the needy, if you're giving finances to the widows and the orphans, and you're keeping yourself unspotted from the world, you will add an increase in financial gains. You will. So it works in finances. But I'm talking about, brothers and sisters, it don't matter what you're doing. The Bible says, show yourself friendly. And if you're giving friendship, you're going to receive back the same way. It doesn't matter what it is. I shared the testimony of the little gal that lived around the corner here. She saw the little woman that was cold and didn't have a jacket. She only had one herself, and she took her jacket off and went over to the lady and said, here, ma'am, here's your jacket for you to keep warm. The woman said she never, from that day on, never lacked a jacket. The people started coming and saying, here, I got a jacket for you. And she said, I guess I'm supposed to be in a ministry giving jackets away. She said she had a ministry. She was doing a good deed to somebody that was cold and didn't have a jacket and took the only one. It's like the woman with the mite. It moved the Lord so much that it moved the Lord in such a way that God started blessing this woman with jackets. And she said she never lacked for a jacket ever again. Just started giving them away. But you see, this isn't a testimony. This isn't a story. This isn't a thing of this little thing that happened to an individual around the corner. This is a life. It is a proven lifestyle. It is a proven word of God. And this is God's ways. I remember Brother Pike made a statement. He said, you know, I live in the house of plenty. He said, that's where I live, in the house of plenty. He said, my refrigerator is slam-packed full of food. And he said, but you know what? The door's open all the time, and people come by to see me. People come knock on my door. And when people come by, I'm having Sister Betty said, pack this stuff up in bags, and it's going out the door as fast as I could send it out, and it keeps coming back. See, he learned a principle. He learned a secret. And you say, well, he was a minister. That's why it works. Try it for yourself. I challenge you in the name of the Lord. Try it yourself. Start opening up your refrigerator. Instead of praying for your hungry neighbor, feed your hungry neighbor. You see, sometimes the Bible said we pray amiss. You know why I pray? I don't pray to move God. I pray to hear God. You say, well, you know, you need to pray to move God. No, God's already moved and done everything he's going to do to the last drop of blood. Amen. And he'd done everything. And you know what I pray? I pray for I could hear from the Lord to go about his business. It's his responsibility to provide. My God's a provider. You understand that? My God is a provider. He is going to provide. If he tells me to do something, you know, if we look at it in simplistic terms of employee and employer, so to speak, and this isn't a job such of a description, it's a calling. You understand that? But what I'm saying, if he tells me to do something, he's obligated to make the way. And the problem is that we limit him. And you've heard me say this, if not a million times, 2 million. But the problem is we wait for him to make the way before we start, and it don't work. It'll never work. It'll never happen. Never, ever, never. If he tells you to do something, you start doing it. You say, I don't have the means to do it. That's why you don't have the means, because you haven't started doing it. Brother Pike's testimony was he had a borrowed pick. He put it in the ground, then the blocks came. But he had to do something first. He had to put the pick in the ground. You understand what I'm saying? I used him as an example. We had a backhoe that was rented and set out here, and as we started digging the holes, then everything started coming. We didn't have a building loan. We didn't have the finances. We didn't have the money in the bank. You don't believe me? Ask the wife. If you don't believe her, then get in the books yourself and look. But we built a church broke. It just kept coming. We didn't have the money. When we started every phase of this project, we didn't have the money to complete any perspective of it. But God said to build a church. People said, Brother Rob, how much is it going to cost? I said, what's it matter how much it costs? We don't have the money. Let's just build it. And as we built it, it going. Now, seeing the carnal mind said, well, man, we need a budget. We need to know how much it costs. Man, all I would have done was create a big monster and a giant before me saying, oh, my, we need $100,000. But no, we just built it. You know, we did it 1 2-by-4 at a time, sweet Jesus. You know, one block at a time, sweet Jesus. One piece of sheetrock at a time. One roll of electrical wire at a time. And that's what we kept doing. And we kept doing it. God said, build a church. He didn't say, pray to get $100,000 or $200,000 in the bank and then build a church. He didn't say, go and, you know, knock on the neighbor's doors and plead for finances. He didn't say, go sell brittle and cake and pies and cookies. He said, build a church. That's what he said. I mean, that's pretty simple, isn't it? And he is our provider. He is our God. And he commands and he speaks and he says, do this. And we said, yay and amen, we'll do it. So we started doing it and you're sitting in it tonight. Yeah, praise God. It is something to praise God. But you know what? You know, now what? I was talking about mocking testimonies. You know, thank God for being filled with the Holy Ghost 49 years ago. Yeah, but what about it? What are we doing today? What is our vision? What is our goal? What's happening in our life? Are we just idling through time? Are we retired? I hope that I get so tired I get retired. Because I start out tired all the time, man. I get up in the morning, man, and I'm tired. And I'll tell you, I've had to pray and say, God, help me, strengthen me. I want to stay wore out. I want to stay tired. I want to stay pressed in such a way thinking, God, I'm not testifying to myself. I'm testifying to him. And if I got anything to say about this, I want to kill this man out. I want to wear him out. I want to tire him out. I want to use him up. You know, that when it's all said and done, amen, if the Lord tarries and y'all kick me out in a box or something, and you could maybe put something on that little piece of concrete, say, that dude wore himself out, man. I hope so, amen. That's what I want to do. I don't want any money. You know, I don't want you to think, well, we're going to have to get some of his money and buy him a box. You know, I don't care about all that stuff. But I'm just saying this, I ain't worried about that. That's the least of my problems. Thing is when you take that last breath, this old body, it don't care about if it smells good no more. It don't care how much perfume's on it. They'll put a few flowers around the old stench and thing. It's always stunk. You just had to cover it up, make it smell good. It always stunk. That flesh always stinks. It's nasty. Don't even, I don't know, God help me. People, they give their life to flesh. They give their life seeking after flesh and seeking after the opposite sex, and they're pressed out and looking and doing this, and they just lose their soul. I like what Brother Pike said. He said, just an old fleshly bag of bones, man. That's all it is. Take and pinch its nose, tape off its mouth for a minute, and after it changes colors, just shake it a little bit and them old bones will rattle. And just that's all it is, an old nothing. It's nothing. When you look at it any other way, you're looking at it wrong. Well, I look at it and I see Christ. And I say, yeah, get your eyes open. And I'd like to see Christ in all of our lives. And the only way you see Christ isn't by looks, it's by action. That's the only way you'll see him this day and hour is by action. That's what I want to be. I want to be on fire for God. Pray for me. I need your prayers. Amen. I'm falling shy, falling short. I want to do more. I want to press in more. I'm not seeking after my gains. I'm seeking after the gains to the kingdom. You see, my gains, nothing. They're temporal. Anything that I've gathered on this side is temporal. There won't be one brick, one stone standing on top of another. This isn't my domain. This isn't my land. We honor these things. This is God's house. We honor it and we take care of it and we watch after it and we let it be a testimony. We try to keep it up, keep the paint where it's supposed to be, and keep it up for a testimony for the kingdom of God that these things mean things to us. But other than that, we do it for testimony's sake because we honor it as the Lord's. But honestly speaking, these things are temporal, brothers and sisters. The Bible said there won't be one stone standing on top of another. It didn't say there's going to be one little place set aside somewhere. It said one stone. Even the holy ground over there when we go to Jerusalem and we look over there, it said that Mount of Olives is going to cleave in half. There ain't nothing, brothers and sisters, going to stand. That temple mount that they built over there and those walls that are standing there to testify of this temple of God there now, none of it's going to stand, brothers and sisters. This place is going to shake beyond any kind of thought that you could ever have. But brothers and sisters, it's temporal. This is temporal. Everything in this world is temporal. Your life is temporal. Your breath is temporal. Your strength is temporal. Everything's temporal, brothers and sisters. It's all vexation to the spirit. It's all a lying vanity. Get your eyes off of it. Seek after the Lord. Seek after God. Press into God. Press into the spirit of God. Let's get on board and do more. And the only way we can do more is by trusting God. You say, well, Brother Rob, man, we're in trouble, man. We got finances, this and that. And we got the devil breathing down our neck, this and that. You know, Brother Pike had the devil breathing down his neck real bad about a $100,000 note that was due in 2 weeks. And he went and spent $30,000 on some cattle because got tired of hearing the devil nag at him. If you're tired of the devil nagging at you, start doing something for God. Amen. He'll shut up. You say, I need 500. And you know, and the devil's pressing you for 500. And go give Brother Jerry 300, and the old devil shut up. And Jerry will say, thank you, amen. And the devil will say, man, they done some good there. Is that all right, Brother Jerry? Amen, he said. I love y'all. Appreciate you. Just stand at our feet. I want to do more for the Lord. I want to pray more. I want to thank him more. I want to give more. I want to do more. More, more, more. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. Can you say you love the Lord tonight?
Love the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. I truly love him. When you look up here and you see me, you know God's merciful. He's long-suffering. His grace is alive and it's sufficient. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song or two and we'll close the service.
He says he'll give you the same spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus. And that spirit that dwelled within him was about the Father's business. And when you have that same spirit and full of the Holy Ghost, you'll be about his business. Amen. You'll be about the Father's business. Remember me in prayer, brothers and sisters. I love you and I appreciate you. Remember to pray for me, amen. Pray that God will use me up, amen, every bit of me. Use me up. And if I got any money, tell him to use it all up and to give it all away as fast as it comes in. If I got any strength, say, Lord, use that preacher's strength. If I got any understanding, say, Lord, use that preacher's understanding. If he's got any wisdom, Lord, use that preacher's wisdom, understanding, knowledge, strength, finance, breath, whatever he's got, use it. Use it all up for his name's sake. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you pray like that? Pray. Pray that he'll use me more and more and more and more. Amen. That's the desire of my heart, and that's the desire of His heart. Amen. I'm not praying amiss tonight. Amen. That's what He wants me to do, and that's how He wants me to pray. God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.